Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is your host, Jamie Russo. I have for you today an interesting interview with a community manager in Atlanta. She is in a unique niche coworking space, and she also has a fairly unique role. So I think you're really going to enjoy listening to her talk about her role and how she serves members beyond the traditional community manager role, and a little bit about the niche offerings of the space that they're in, which has allowed them to retain 100% of their members through COVID. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. Before we jump in with Trina Kay, if you are working on opening a co-working space, I want to invite you to join me for my free masterclass, 3 behind-the-scenes secrets to opening a co-working space. If you're working on starting a co-working space, I want to share with you 3 decisions that I've seen successful operators make when they're creating their co-working businesses. The masterclass is totally free. It's about an hour. If you'd like to join me, please register at everythingcoworking.com/masterclass. If you already have a co-working space and this episode has you thinking about your community manager, the profile of a successful community manager, the hats that they wear, how to structure team weekly meetings so that your community manager is focusing on the right projects to move the business forward, training community managers, documenting processes. We talked about SOPs in the episode today. I've created a private podcast feed just for you on this topic. I'm super excited about this app. It allows me to create podcasts that don't go to iTunes, but show up in your phone as a podcast, so they're really easy to listen to. You can subscribe to the feed and get the link to add it to your phone in your podcast player at everythingcoworking.com/CM podcast. And the feed will show up where you listen to your podcasts. Okay, let's dive into my conversation with Trina Kay, community manager at Ecom Spaces in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, thank you for joining us today. So I have with me special guest Trina Kay. We're not revealing her last name. That is her name, Trina Kay, like Prince, or that's her stage name and her real life name. So Trina is in Atlanta and is the community manager for Ecom Spaces. And she said something that intrigued me in our Facebook group, and I reached out, and I'm super excited to hear your story. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about Ecom Spaces for a minute so we can set a little context, and then we'll talk about you and your role and all that good stuff. So you're in Atlanta. Are you downtown? Tell us, like, give us a little visual of where you are and what Ecom does, because it's a little bit unique for a co-working space.
Yes, for sure. Okay, well, we are downtown. Well, we are in central Atlanta. So we are literally like 5 minutes from downtown and about a 15-minute ride from the airport. So we're like centrally located in Atlanta. And what we do is, it is quite different. We specialize in e-commerce businesses. So our co-working space is specifically for e-commerce businesses. When we first started, we were a general co-working space, but the fun thing about our space is we are also connected to a fulfillment center called Relay Shop Spaces. So both businesses are in one building, but they're two separate businesses. So the owner, Maire, she had this concept of, hey, people who sell products online, we would love to have a hub where they can do everything that they need to do in one space. So we have private offices here. We have our open co-working space. We also have a content creation room. We provide a lot of services, product photography, social media management, literally everything a person who is running an online store needs, we have that here for them somehow our way through either a service or a membership.
I love it. So okay. give me an example of one of your members. Like, what do they sell and how do they use the space?
Okay. I'll tell you our first member here is a company called Rapalock, and they have a hair styling tool. So the tool is used to create curls in your hair or your locks. And they have a private office and they use our fulfillment services. So for people who don't know what that is, that's basically when you have a website and someone orders a product from your site. Because we have all their inventory stored in our warehouse, we also get that ping when a customer makes an order and we pull the items off of the shelf and package it and send it to that customer for the business. So that's
a service you offer. You do the actual fulfillment. So the customer doesn't have to get up from their desk, pop out to the warehouse and package it all, or the owner. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So in the same way that people order from Amazon, that's us. We are the people who are
behind.
So for our co-working space members though, so, you know, they don't have to go outside for such a service. Like if they need to check their inventory, if they have a vendor show or something, they can just grab their inventory from the back and keep going. Like it doesn't have to be a separate service. If they want their products packaged a certain way with the particular tissue and all of that, like we handle all of those services for them. That's one of the many services that we offer.
Love it. And if they need a product shot or they can grab something, go to your content creation studio, take the photos. Do the things.
Our first member, Rapalock, they utilize the space beautifully. During COVID, we renovated the whole entire space. All of our walls were plain white. And we had to shut down because of COVID. We just didn't know, you know, what to expect. So thankfully, Maire, she took it upon herself to revamp and give the space an entire makeover. So now literally every wall in our space can be used for a photo or video op opportunity. So we'll be casually working in this space and someone might just jump up and take a quick cute pic that you can just post to Instagram
quick. I love that. Right. Because that's one of the challenges of taking social media photos. You're like, well, my background's not right, or it looks the same all the time. Or I love it. I love that she's like, some people stress eat during COVID. She's like, I'm going to paint and style the space.
Yes. She went renegade.
Going to work. Yeah. So how long has e-com been open as a space at all? And then when did you kind of reformat?
The space opened in 2017. Okay. But the owner, Maire, she had been doing her, I don't know if this is too much, but she started from her apartment.
You love the stories. So whatever you want to share, we're in.
Good. She is French. She's from Guadeloupe. And overseas, big companies like Walmart and Target, they don't ship overseas. You know how we had the convenience of just ordering stuff online. Yeah. They don't do that. So she found that loophole. And what she did was she created a business where overseas consumers can purchase these U.S. products and they get sent to our U.S. address. And then she, being the middle person, sends it to them internationally because she's already from there. So she kind of knew how to maneuver that.
Yeah. She's like an exporter. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So she was doing that on her own.
Yes. I think she's, I don't know exactly. I want to say maybe 2014 or 2015. She did it for a little while before she got this space. But once she got this space, like I said, we have 7 rooms for private offices. So she was just at first just trying to get people into our offices. Yep. And then once people start realizing like what we actually do here, it's been crazy.
A no-brainer. Yeah. I mean, I love the niche space for that reason. It's like, you're exactly right for certain people, right? Instead of being maybe right for a lot of people, you're exactly right. And so you just have to get in front of them, in front of the right people.
Correct. So we have some members like myself who do not have an e-commerce business. We're like grandfathered in. But anyone else who comes in, they have to have an e-commerce business in order to be a member of our community.
Yeah.
And that motivates me. So I'm actually currently trying to figure out like, what am I going to sell? Be the only person here without an e-commerce business. It's crazy, but it's motivating and exciting. So.
So do you, how do your members interact with each other?
So before COVID, we have a very kind of like family friendly-ish, atmosphere here. Like a lot of people, when they come in, they always say, oh man, the vibe here is so good. Like we're courteous, we're friendly. We have a happy hour every Friday. After this interview, it will be happy hour time.
It's happy hour time.
Yes. Every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., we, the co-working space members, we buy wine and our members can casually get it out of the fridge, or if I'm here, I will definitely bring it out and start encouraging people, you know, to have a social drink. But everyone just comes out of their office, brings their laptops out, and it's kind of like in the co-working space, the main space, and just casually working. It's a great time for people to bounce ideas off of each other. Hey, I know you did a Facebook ad. How did it go? What did you do? Oh, you met this photographer. Who did that for you? Like, we exchange a lot of information. But since COVID, it's not
the same. It's different. I hear you. I know. Hang in there. Yeah. Someday, we all thought it would never last this long, but someday we'll get back to that. Yeah, I love that. Do you do any special pretend pre-COVID, post-COVID, any special programming to kind of, besides happy hours, to help sort of specific content? Or you mentioned the Facebook ads or photography. Do you support that programmatically, or do you kind of let it happen organically?
So before COVID, we would have guest speakers come. So it used to be like Wednesday, we would, people come into the space and we find out what they do. And if it matches with what we do, we offer them like, hey, would you like to teach a class here? Right. Would you be interested?
Yeah.
And we kind of bounce off of each other, because a lot of times people have this knowledge and information, but maybe they don't have the space or the location to do such. So it's like, hey, we have a space. Mm-hmm. You have the knowledge. Let's work this out. How can we do this together? Maybe they'll let our members attend their seminar for free or for a discount, or we might give them the space for free or at a discount. We barter, like we're a community. No one is trying to get over on anyone. We want everyone to succeed. So we have like a, how can I help you kind of like atmosphere.
Approach. Totally. I love it. Okay. So let's talk about you. How long have you been at Ecom?
I have been here for a year and a half.
Okay.
A year and a half. I've been here for a year and a half.
All right.
And
tell us about you and what did you do before co-working?
Before co-working, I worked for Uber Eats. I helped launch Uber Eats Atlanta here, and I was an account manager there. But I decided to leave corporate. I had enough.
That's one of your Instagram t-shirts that I love. Corporate dropout.
Yes. And that one of our members here, that's his brand.
Oh, too funny.
Yes.
What, and does he sell a product, or is it the shirt that he sells?
The shirt is what he sells. He himself is an artist, and he's also a community man. Like, he just goes around to different neighborhoods and parks and just picks up trash. Like, It's crazy. He'll have like 7 bags of trash. He's just trying to keep the community clean. And then he makes art, and him and his wife run a very successful vending machine business. So they teach people how to start their own vending machine business. Okay. And then they have their own vending machine business as well.
And he's an artist, and he sells the corporate dropout t-shirt, and he picks up trash in the community. Aren't people interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. People are so interesting. Okay. So Uber Eats, account manager, and then you were a corporate dropout.
Yes. I'm sorry. So when I got here, I started off in the warehouse myself. My background is in logistics. I was in the Air Force. So I was a supplier.
Oh, interesting. You're interesting. Everybody's interesting. Okay. Wow.
Yes. So with that, I started in the warehouse, and I'm a very morale type person. So I'm the one who would always, I think I probably started happy hour in a sense. Like, I'm like, hey, we're having a good time. Let's chill, relax, and let's work. And Maire noticed that, you know, I'm that kind of person. I'm friendly, kind of detail oriented, like to schedule things, but also want people to have a good time. So she was like, you should start having events here and stuff. So then I started having events, which turned into helping other people have events. And then because of my, like, I don't know what it's called, but I guess I had the personality to give tours and mm-hmm. such. So mm-hmm. then she was like, okay, we're going to move you from the back to the front. Okay. So when people come, I'm a pitcher.
Enneagram profile or something like that. Like, you're not the warehouse girl. You're really.
Yeah. She was like, no. And she's very good with that, with noticing people's strengths and moving them rather than letting them go. She will move you to like where works best. And that's one of the awesomest things about her, period. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, so long story short, that's what happened. My personality moved me into a space to be more of a face mm-hmm. for the space. And then she was like, okay, well, while you're here, I need social media management. I mean, right. Project management.
I have a list.
Community management. Yeah. And she wrote out like what she needed, and we reviewed it. And I agreed. And from there, I became a part-time community manager, which turned into, I don't know, like I said, it's kind of 24/7. So I don't work any particular amount of hours, but time frames. I work a particular amount of hours, but the time frame.
Kind of when things need to get done. And yeah. So mm-hmm. when you're not there, your members have 24/7 access. Do they kind of self-serve and take care of things on their own?
Yes. Everything is very easy and accessible, and we have things written out, and everyone knows how to operate sufficiently. And then the things that, like I said, we have the warehouse, but that's not open 24/7.
Okay.
You have to book an appointment if you need to do things there. But as the general co-working space, thank God we've been faithful enough to have amazing people join our space. No one is ever trying to do anything crazy here or anything. We can trust people to, if someone needs to come at 1 a.m. to shoot a really cool video shoot, we can trust that they will do that, return the space how it was, and everything is all good. So,
I mean, it's interesting when you're building a culture at a co-working space. I mean, to set the expectation that, like, look, we're a community, you do your thing, we're going to teach you how to take care of the space, we're going to trust that you'll do that, you know, during the day or right in the middle of the night. And you know, have respect for the folks who are coming in for them in the morning who may do the same thing. And it sounds like you're not babysitting.
No.
You're there to kind of support them in their work and help them get what they need to get done. Who makes the coffee?
I used to make the coffee, but now we got the cups. So people just make their own coffee.
Their own. Yep. That's always the, you know, one of the high maintenance things. It's like, well, who takes care of this?
It was literally the number one thing when we first started. It was the first thing on the list of duties, like make coffee. Okay.
Right.
Turn on lights, music.
Yeah. Right.
Coffee first, always.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned, because of some of your interests, that you started kind of doing some other services for members. You know, we chatted about that, but now that we're recording, share that again for everyone listening.
No worries. So what I do is I am a lifestyle consultant, and that is combining personal development with business services. So I'm like, when someone needs business, I'm a project manager for them. Basically, we brainstorm out all of the things that they need for their business. We categorize it, and then I start actively working on it. So not only am I the organizer, but I'm also the person who actually does some of the work. So it may be customer service. It may be forming them an organization chart. One of the main things I did here was write SOPs, which are standard operating processes. A lot of people don't have that. They start as a one-person business, and then business starts booming. And now they realize, oh, I need to get my sister, or I need to hire someone, but I don't even know.
It's all in my head. Right.
So I start writing those processes for them. I try to get them when they first start their business so I can stay up on it. But sometimes I join their team. And then also as I help people with their personal development. So oftentimes people are nervous when they have to do an interview.
Entrepreneurs have a lot of like head issues, right? It's like, Yeah.
People are nervous for their interviews, for
shooting,
making their own content. So I'm behind the scenes just basically coaching them, telling them, you know, smile, your voice sounds good. Oh no, maybe not, that hat doesn't really speak with your brand. You know, just little personal development things, confidence. That's what I do. I feel like that was a big ramble, but I help people show up for themselves and their business in whatever way I can, administratively or with their confidence.
No, I think you've taken the role. Like, I think there are, there's like a spectrum for the community manager role. Like, it can be as basic as hospitality. Like, I make the coffee, I greet the guests, I handle billing, all the way to you're like really integrated into their business.
Yes.
So you have an interesting role of taking care of the membership and the space, but then you also kind of go deep and help people and show them, you know, what they can do to be more successful.
Correct.
Yeah. It's super, it's an interesting, and well, it sounds like, so you've kind of a part-time role, but you're there probably a lot because you're doing these extra. And so how do you handle with members communicating? You mentioned you kind of were just doing this for a while, and then at some point you recognize the value and you're like, I need to charge for this.
Yes.
So you sit down and kind of figure out an approach for like a package for them when you start working with them.
Yeah, so everything has been taken case by case basis. But now, since I've been doing it for about a year, I kind of got a general idea of like what people basically need. So I'm coming in with that approach. I'm still working on it, but it's literally a moment of just sitting down and having a meeting and finding out what exactly they need, because I am capable of doing a multitude of things. So it's a lot of times it's just like a customized package. Like, you're having a commercial. Okay. Who are all the people that got all the people's name. What do they do? What time do you need to be here? You need a location found. I might do location scouting. I've even been in commercials.
I can be your on-screen talent, your off-screen talent. Yeah.
Damn, that's what I do. But yeah, it's crazy, but it's fun. A lot of fun.
Well, I think it's a really neat that you're able to carve time to do that, because you build, it's natural that you would build relationships with folks in the space, right?
Yes.
And so then they get to know you and they trust you. And then entrepreneurs often just don't have access to like people like you who can see what they need and have the ability to support them. They may have that feeling like they need that and they don't know where to find it. And you're sitting there right in the space.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Sure. You're like an amenity.
I am like an amenity. That's funny. Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
And the owner supports sort of your role in the space, kind of doing both.
Yeah. I mean, like she's an innovator. So she's that, like, if you come up with some crazy, great idea, she's for it. Like she fully supports it. I used to be a little kind of shy. Like, you know, I don't want to overstep. I'll be watching somebody do something and I'm like, oh, I want to help you so bad. But I don't. And she's like, no, tell them, oh, y'all should talk to Katrina. She will help you get organized. She'll help you do this. So I kind of got pushed in. And then now I just take control. Like, hey, I just want to let you know I can do these things. If you want to, we can sit down and have a meeting. It's that simple. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, we get great people here. So I haven't run into any situations where it's been like, what? Like, it always just seems to work. And they're just like, thank you. And I'm like, thank you. Because I did all these great things. What's next for tomorrow? Like, that's just how it is.
Nonstop new. You have a really, so people are always really interested in, you know, how do I find the right profile for a community manager? And people think like, well, hospitality is a great background. And I don't often run into community managers that come from hospitality. Like you, I would love to see like your profile because you probably have this like right brain, left, like Air Force, logistics, sort of process oriented, which makes you good with the SOPs and seeing what needs to be done. But then you're probably this more extroverted, gives tours, you know, can do sales and, you know, marketing. And so you're a really interesting blend that's not that easy to find.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The fact I'm actually introverted, but yes, I'm actually introverted. And so that's where the personal development comes in. But I've done a lot of personal development studying how to communicate with people, how to not be so shy. Like I put a lot of work into myself. So I put on for the show, but honestly, I'd rather just be in my bed with my laptop and my Netflix. Like that's what I like. But
do you find the role to be really draining, tiring? Like, do you need to, like, you know, regenerate when you go home, or have you kind of gotten used to it? It's a very outward role, right? You're talking to people and you're sort of on all the time. I remember days when I hadn't been in the space for a while and I would go in to take, you know, somebody was sick and I would manage a space for a day. I would want to like crawl under my desk at the end of the day. I would be so exhausted from the interaction. Mm-hmm. And I am 100% an extrovert. So, but even that would tire me out. So I always warn people, like, be careful, you know, hiring introverts can just be a mismatch. But you're doing fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. People tell me that I'm an extroverted introvert, but what they really don't understand is like I might do things like I might listen to meditative music before I come to work. Mm-hmm. I will ground myself before I come to work. I exercise before, like I have to get my nerves and my energy right before I come to work because of that. And that's the one thing, like sometimes people come to the space or they've seen my Instagram and they're like, hey, Trina K. And they think I'm this like personality. And I'm like,
yes.
Hi.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? What's happening? Okay. And I had to get myself together. But and I tell them, like, I'm sorry, like that might seem that way, but really, you know, let's keep things cool and keep
that's such a social media thing, isn't it? I think that's super interesting because I would get the same, I would have the same takeaway from your social media. And so interesting how how that plays out. No, but I love it. So you're kind of, you're aware and you're in charge of your energy and you make sure you do the things that get you ready to go.
I think the military helped me with that. Like you have no choice to interact with people or not. So that's what helped me. Like if my sergeant comes and says something to me, I can't shy away. I have to deliver whatever they need. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
What was it that made you join the Air Force in the in the beginning?
Actually, it was literally prayer. I was at a point in my life where I didn't know what I was going to do next. And my friend told me about this book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and I read it. And afterwards, I just had a very big moment where I sent a super huge prayer out to God. And as clear as day, I heard Air Force. And I was like,
what? Yeah. Let me try again. Maybe you didn't hear me.
Yeah, it was a whole experience. I'm actually writing a book about my life and everything. It's been crazy, but it was just an answered prayer. And I went. I just listened to faith and went.
And it was the right decision.
It was an interesting decision.
Yeah. Although I guess, right. I mean, it's hard to know sometimes why was I called to do something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not until later in life, I think, that you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's hard to see ahead, you know? And so sometimes the behind, right. Okay. So I'm curious, sort of one of my questions is, you know, what about the role feels really easy to you? And is there anything that's hard for you?
Okay. What's really easy for me? I guess just, it's going to sound weird, but it's easy for me to take on whatever these new experiences may be. And that might be just because, I think it's because I'm a curious person. I like learning new things, like knowledge is power. So if it gives me an opportunity to learn something new, then I want to be on board, especially when it comes to business and people making money. So just being myself, like I said, I can give the tours, I can explain the business, and I can do many administrative things, which is my jam because now I get to be by myself and just camping away. But what's hard for me is when someone wants something of me, like let's say maybe someone wants a welcome book to their business. And they're just like, I want a welcome book. And I try to ask questions like, well, do you want pictures? Do you just want words? Is there a color scheme? How much? Just do whatever. So now I spend time doing whatever. And when I present it, they're like, oh no, that's not what I want. Right.
There's no right answer when they say do whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that's hard for me. Like, you know, because I can get what you want done. And then I'm also open to, if you like my creativity, cool. But if you want something specific, just tell me. It's your product. You're paying me. Like, I want to give you what you want. So that's the only difficult thing because, you know, there's a lot of time behind creating new things.
The thing for them to react to, for it to, not be right.
Yeah, but it's nothing more than a simple conversation and going back to the drawing board. And then, you know, everything is fine again. So I don't know.
So I'm curious, since you have such a unique role, maybe carve out the community manager aspect of your role. If you had to give us a pie chart of what that looks like, would the pie be biggest? And let's say not during COVID, since COVID times are different, but in normal times, how would the pies look for community building, operations, sales, and marketing?
The pie. I would say that probably about 60% was community managing before COVID because we used to have a lot of events here. So I was the event manager or I was the person throwing the events. Yep. And our community, like I said, we're very close knit. So everyone was having all kinds of events and it was fun. And then there's just all the admin that goes behind every single thing. Then I would say it was probably about 30% operations due to the social media. I do the customer service.
You do like billing and onboarding and offboarding members.
Correct. And then for me personally, about 10% marketing. Like, so I'm putting content out there, but not really with like strategy and ads and such. The owner, she does that. So it's more content based for me.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of people in the space and
right. Being sort of the one to catch the moments and social, which I think is such a useful, nobody else can do that. Right. Well, unless you get members who are really good at that, but
right.
So I'm curious about your structure with the owner. Do you sit down every week and kind of go through priorities, or what does that interaction look like so that you're on the same page?
So before COVID, that is how we did it. Every day for an hour, we would sit down and, you know, she would, whatever project she's given me, we'd figure out, you know, what's going on with that. It would depend. When she would give me a project, I might just work on that project. So instead of having that hour meeting every day, I would use that time to work on the project. We would just meet when we needed.
Yeah.
But because of COVID and everyone, since we are an e-commerce fulfillment center with more businesses wanting to do e-commerce, she has been pulled away from the co-working aspect. It's more in the fulfillment center. Like, she's back there hustling and grinding and packing and shipping and doing everything with her team. So at first it was just her. Now there's about 7-8 people, and this is since COVID. So now I try not to, you know, bother her
because, like, I'll keep this going.
We're not super trying to get more members, because I mean, at the end of the day, we are, you know, it's kind of scary, like, there is COVID out here, but we still
that's a struggle lots of folks are having right now. They, you know, you want to replace members that left, and yet a lot of folks are kind of holding on new members because it's a challenging time to bring new people in. Yeah.
Fortunate for us, no one has left. Everyone has stayed since COVID. No one has left. And if anything, more people have just been wanting to come back in, but we're a lot more cautious than we.
Yeah.
So now my time is more, I do get to work remote more now because we don't have everyone who's here. They pretty much know the gist of what's going on. I only need to come in when we have a new member and I need to onboard them and show them the ropes.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless they book a service. I'm sorry.
I was just kind of curious. Are you setting an expectation with members that they should only come in when they need to, or how are you? I'm always curious. You're in Atlanta. Things are different in all parts of the country, as you know, in terms of how people are handling it.
Yeah. Yeah. We are still, like I said, we're just thankful that we have amazing people here. Everyone kind of seems to be on the same accord. Like, we all know there's COVID out there, and we're not trying to, I don't know, bring danger to anyone else. So fortunately, a lot of our members are kind of introverted too. So we don't really do a lot of stuff outside of the space.
Yeah.
It just works out that way.
Yeah. I bet you can't wait to get back to your events and bringing people together and letting people connect. Do you do any of that virtually? Do you have a Slack group or a Facebook group or anything you've done to help people communicate when they're not in the space?
So, no, we just communicate via email and word of mouth. Like I said, because it's e-commerce here, everyone is really just operating their services. Like, they're just trying to find the best way to work their marketing and their sales ads and such. And I don't know, it's like a push pull. Like, people say they want to have, you know, a gathering, but do we really want to?
Yeah.
I don't know. So there has been talks of having like a community check-in, but then no one has really followed through. So I think everyone is happy. I think everyone is just happy to still be connected to the space, happy that the space is still open and operating, and everyone is respectful of what they're trying to do with their business. So it's a lot more work and less play.
I know, right. Focus on getting through, and that'll shift at some point.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably part of your role too, is right, to sense what the community wants.
Correct.
And know when it's time to bring back happy hour and get everybody kind of co-mingling together. So, well, Trina, we've been chatting for a while, and I don't want to keep you over time. Your story is really interesting and unique, and I appreciate you sharing your role and, you know, your perspective and your story and your space. And I think it's interesting, not totally unexpected, that you've had such great member retention through this time with a, you know, a unique, slightly unique model. And I think that's a learning for some of us, right? That the more niche spaces, you know, people need what you do.
Yes.
So that's a great business model to have, and they need what you personally do. So, you know, you've also kept busy. I think a lot of community managers are struggling. People aren't coming in the space, and, you know, their role is really focused on supporting folks when they're in the space. And you've got this unique role that keeps you busy no matter what. So I think you've probably got some wheels turning for sure. For me, you have. So Trina, I'm going to put your Instagram in the show notes, the e-com space, link to e-com spaces, anything else you want me to share if folks are interested in following you?
I don't know. I would just like to say, for the other fellow community members, I would really encourage them to reach out to their members and just ask them, what do you need right now? What do you need right now in this time of business? And from what they say, if that community manager can help them, then offer them their services. Don't do it for free, but offer your services. See how you can help, you know, find ways for yourself to stay busy and employed, because at the end of the day, all of these business owners need help. We all need help as people.
So yeah, we do. We need each other. I love that message. Perfect. Awesome. Well, Trina, thank you so much. It was great to meet you. And Trina's info is in the show notes if anybody wants to find that. The show notes are on the website. Somebody recently was like, what's a show note? And I was like, oh, right. Not everybody knows what show notes are. It's just a little summary of the content that we covered with links to any resources or people that we talk about on the show. And you can find it on the Everything Coworking website. Go to podcast and you can find the episode. And that's the show notes page. So Trina, thank you. I look forward to staying connected and following your journey.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I appreciate this opportunity. And from the Ecom Spaces team, we just thank you so much just for allowing us to share our business with the world.
You are welcome.